Our sermon text this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. We had a hopefully you have a Bible in front of you. If not, we have some, I think, on the back table, unless they're all gone. That's possible. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord for us this morning. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might find, they may have life. And have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of his words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is God's word. Let's pray as we seek his help in understanding it. Let's pray. Lord, help us to see. May we not be blind. Help us to see Jesus Christ, crucified, exalted, risen. Help us to see him as our shepherd, as the good shepherd, as the great shepherd of the sheep. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. We pray that he would be honored and glorified in the preaching and hearing of this word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I remember just about a year or two ago, perhaps it was around the presidential election time, I'm not sure. There seemed to be quite a movement against being called a sheep. And then I looked up some quotes and I realized that perhaps that has gone on for longer than I thought. There's this one quote by a woman named Elizabeth Kenny. If you, those of you know women's history, she was an Australian nurse in the first half of the 20th century. I think her quote is for Australian is very American. She says, "It's better to be a lion for a day than a sheep all your life." I think sheep get a bad rap. People would rather be a lion for a day than a sheep all their lives. Even someone as great as Alexander the Great said, put it this way, "I am not afraid of an army of lions led by a sheep. I am afraid of an army of sheep led by a lion." And I'm pretty certain that there are no sports teams I'm aware of that are called the Fighting Sheep, right? There are lions and tigers and bears, oh my, right? But sheep, no, not to be found. We're going to talk more about sheep in just a minute, about the importance of who they are. This morning, I'd like to break our passage into three parts. It really divides into three. First of all, there's an extended parable, extended metaphor that Jesus uses in verses 1 through 6. It's not a parable. It's an extended metaphor. What I mean by that is that Jesus uses the words of verses 1 through 6. He gets the sense that the listeners aren't getting it. And so he kind of changes some of the things in verses 7 through 19, or 7 through 18. And so he goes into greater detail in that section, talking about how he provides for the sheep and the failure of the religious leaders to do so. And then finally, the passage ends with what has become the typical reaction of the Pharisees to Jesus. Some thinking he's insane or has a demon, and some seem intrigued by the power behind his words. But a lot of them, many of them, of course, are not willing to come to faith in him. But first, before you even get to that, I'd like to start by talking about the Old Testament background. When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he is not just pulling something out of thin air. He's pulling on something that's of a rich heritage that's provided to us in the Old Testament. Of course, probably the passage that almost everyone should think of right away is Psalm 23, right? The most beloved probably chapter in the whole Bible. It talks about how God is our shepherd. He leads us to still waters and he restores my soul. But there are other places too. Just a few. Psalm 100, verse 2, reminds us that God himself promises to shepherd his people. "Know the Lord, he is God," the psalmist writes. "It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." How about Isaiah 40, another cherished chapter of the Bible, verses 9 through 11. It says, "Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." So what does this God look like? "Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense with him, before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." This beautiful picture of God coming as this great king, this great warrior, who also is a shepherd. Because we are sheep and we need shepherding. Now, in the midst of all this, God also condemned the Old Testament leaders of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 34. If you want to follow in there, I encourage you, if you have a Bible, to turn there. Ezekiel 34, we're looking at the first six verses. You can really read the whole chapter. The whole chapter is really about the same topic. We'll read just verses 1 through 6. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. With force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them." So is it no wonder that Jesus, when he looked at the crowds, yeah, I think in Matthew chapter, I'm not sure, I thought, let's go with 11. He saw that the people were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So that same force of prophecy in Ezekiel was still going on in Jesus' day. And so Jesus here calls himself the shepherd of the sheep, verses 1 through 6. He calls the Pharisees thieves and robbers. Right? Jesus is known by his sheep as well as the gatekeeper of the sheepfold. He knows him too. The sheep trust him. He is gentle with them, calling them by name. Imagine that. I mean, they're almost like his pets. He knows them by name. And he leads them out to find pasture. Notice he doesn't drive them, he leads them. Apparently there's a type of shepherding where you actually drive them out using dogs and other animals. But not Jesus. He leads them out to find pasture gently. The bottom line is that Jesus here really expresses himself. He is the shepherd of the sheep. He is for them. He is for their flourishing, while the strangers are for themselves. That's what makes verse 6 so ironic, right? It says this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. The religious leaders aren't tracking what Jesus is saying because they're not his sheep. The sheep follow his voice, for they know his voice, it says in verse 4. But these men are just strangers. Strangers to the sheep and strangers to God himself. How do we know the voice of the great shepherd? How do we know when you hear Jesus' voice? It's a trick. It's not really a trick question. We hear Jesus' voice through the Bible, don't we? We hear Jesus' voice through the scriptures. That's where we hear God's voice. So if you're looking for if you're wanting something more intimate than that, if you want to hear God really speaking to you, you're not going to hear his voice. I think it's possible to hear God's voice audibly, as long as it's words of scripture that it points to. That's how the great shepherd speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us, really, we're really overhearing him speaking to others. And in so, we hear his voice. You want to know the voice of the great shepherd? Open your scriptures. Spend time in prayer over them. I think you will indeed hear his voice. So Jesus, they didn't understand what he was saying to them. And so in verses 7 through 18, he expands the metaphor. He changes it around a little bit. Actually, there are three parts to this point. He calls himself the door in verses 7 through 10. Let me read that again for us. Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So earlier, Jesus claimed that the gatekeeper would open the door for him. Now he claims to be the door himself. The door keeps the wolves and robbers out and shows the sheep where there is safety and sustenance, right? It says that they will go in and out in verse 9 and find pasture. Sheep are kind of funny that way. You have to show them where the food is, because they'll eat just about anything or they won't eat anything. They're not the brightest of animals. Jesus is really, the bottom line is in verse 10, right? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. False shepherds come to use the sheep. False shepherds are these thieves and robbers there to consume them for their own appetites. I think if you spend any time on Christian cable TV, you will very much see people who are wanting to consume other Christians for their own appetites. Don't trust them, dear friends. Don't give them any money, certainly. Jesus protects and feeds and leads his sheep so they might flourish. False shepherds come to consume the sheep, to use them for their own purposes. That's what makes, whenever there's scandal in the church, when there's abuse that is reported, and it's good that it's reported, because we need to out those who are false shepherds. But it's just so tragic, because that trust is often the misplaced trust is often then hard to repair. So Jesus calls himself the door in verses 7 through 10. Then he calls himself the good shepherd again in verses 11 through 13. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." So again, Jesus changes the metaphor a little bit. There were robbers and thieves. Now he I think he's describing the Pharisees as a hired hand. They're a hired gun. They're employees. The problem is with employees is that they don't own the sheep. And if it's the and if there's a comparison to have there, if there's a choice between your job or your life, you choose your life every time. The problem is when they do that, they leave the sheep to the wolves. The good shepherd, in contrast, is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And that's a new thing. Jesus introduces that here. He says that several times, but he says it in verse 11 for the first time, I believe. Then he goes on in verse 14. He talks through verse 18, talking again about being the good shepherd. Listen to these words. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. It's easy to go over verse 14 and 15 and not pause. But just look at that again. How does Jesus know his sheep? How do they know him? It's just the Father knows Jesus, and Jesus knows the Father. Think about the depth of relationship that is. It must be metaphorical because obviously he can't possibly know us as well as he knows the Father. But it's comparable. It's comparable. He knows us well. He then adds two other things. It says verse 15, he reiterates again his own death, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, he adds this, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. So he really is hinting here at the expansion of God's kingdom to the Gentiles. In a sense, the new covenant is being expressed, if I could use that term. I've heard that before somewhere from Sunday school. It is definitely the new covenant. And he has other sheep for whom he is responsible. And then notice in verse 17 and 18. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life and that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, Jesus says. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus is saying that his death is truly voluntary. It is truly voluntary. When he is ready later on in this gospel, he will lay down his life. But he will not be forced to. He will choose to. He has the authority to lay it down. He has authority to pick it up. He lays down his life for the sheep, notice it says. His voluntary choice of dying is for the sheep and for our good and for our sustenance. Think about it, friends. Who else knows us this deeply? Who knows our personality and our giftedness, our history and our future? Who knows our faults and our shortcomings? Who else loves you like that and then gave his life for your sins? Your career will never do that. Your family, though we love family, particularly on a Mother's Day Sunday, they will not do that. No, only Jesus will do that. Only Jesus loves us like that. Only Jesus cares about us like that. And so we then have the mixed reaction of the Pharisees, verses 19, 20, 21. There's really nothing new to say there. They seem to be obsessed with him having a demon. I think it's really their way of saying that he's crazy. But they seem fascinated with his power more than his words. It's really interesting, verse 21. So let me just conclude the study this morning with a few items. First of all, number one, we are sheep. I hate to admit it, we are sheep. We're not lions, we're not tigers, we're not bears. We are sheep. Sheep need shepherding. Sheep are senseless, helpless. Several commentators I read called them even stupid. If we're sheep, we have no sense of direction, no innate drive to find food. And yet, even though we are senseless and helpless and all the other lesses, we are, look at how precious we are. I mean, this is a lot of work for a stupid animal. And yet sheep were really, a sense, there was a great sense of income from their wool and for the food they provide. We are esteemed by so highly by God that he would send his son to die for us. He sent his son to die for us, the sheep, not the lions, not the tigers, not the bears, but the sheep. We are sheep and we need shepherding. The second thing is this: shepherds good and not so good abound. Shepherds good and not so good abound. And our default tends to be to shepherd ourselves. We would rather shepherd ourselves, and perhaps we would call in consultants to get some expert opinions on certain areas of our life. But we'd rather have consultants whom we could dismiss as employees rather than have a shepherd to whom we must submit. But Jesus will never settle for anything less than being our shepherd, for being our king, really, our Lord. The sheep know the voice of the good shepherd, and that is enough for them to trust him as he guides them through this life. Sure, I know I've used this analogy many times, but it works particularly now that summer's here. Many of you maybe will be driving on a great summer vacation. And if you imagine me as a little boy in the back saying, "Where are we? Where are we going? When are we going to get there? How much longer?" It was just not enough. Well, eventually, my mom and dad eventually settled me down and said, enjoy the journey. And they actually gave me a map. I would see where we were going, learn how to read maps. Jesus doesn't always give us a map, but he gives us himself. And that's enough for us to trust him as he guides us through this life. Again, we hear his voice. And because we hear his voice, we trust him. Third thing, last thing this morning, is that the best shepherds are themselves sheep. For example, in the church, the pastor and the elders are often called under-shepherds. And the great news about being Presbyterian is that for those of you who are in submission to us, we too are in submission to others. Beware of the false shepherds who are not accountable to anybody. Those are the folks you have to look out for. The good shepherd himself became a sheep in order to lay down his life for the sheep. Think about that Jesus came to be a sheep himself, to lay down his life for the sheep. There's a great hymn by a man named Horatio Bonar, who's actually a great theologian from the 19th century. I heard the voice of Jesus say, if any of you know it, the Indelible Grace songs, this is one of them. Listen to these words this morning. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn, and sad. I found in him my resting place, and he has made me glad." I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one. Stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank. From that life-giving stream, my thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him." Last stanza. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "I am this dark world light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy days be bright." I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun, and that life, light of life, I'll walk till pilgrim days are done. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you sad? This is a hard world to live in these days. Things seem to be getting worse more than getting better. Jesus offers us rest. The shepherd offers us pasture, sustenance, leadership, safety. Are you trusting in him this morning? he invites you with these words from Matthew chapter 11. Again, I know these are familiar. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The great shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, is Jesus Christ. Dear friends, put your trust and hope in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your son, not as a military leader, not as a financial wizard, not even as an artificial intelligence specialist. Lord, you sent your son as a shepherd and a sheep, but you sent him as the good shepherd of us, your sheep. Lord, help us to put our trust in you. Help us to hear your voice. May that be enough to follow wherever you lead. We ask all this in your son's name. Amen.